I'm on sabbatical back in the fall. One of the books that I wanted to read was from Eugene Peterson, the one who paraphrased and translated the message that Judy read a little bit ago. Also wrote a book of sermons on the book of Jeremiah called Running with Horses. Jeremiah's always been kind of a interesting character. I took a course on Jeremiah in seminary, went back to my folder, looked at all those tests that I made A's on. And I did get through the class, I think, and got credit for it. But Jeremiah's always been an interesting prophet. I hope that somehow this morning he will speak to us as we can learn more about him as he shared in the 15th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Let us pray. May your prophetic word always be heard, O God. In spite of your messenger, may the good news of hope and promise always be heard. Amen. Frederick Buechner, who you have heard Ray and I quote on many occasions, wrote a book a number of years ago entitled Telling Secrets. It's a great deal about his own life and his struggles. He says in the book, I've come to believe that by and large the human family all has the same secrets, which are both very telling and very important to tell. They are telling in the sense that they tell what is perhaps the central paradox of our condition. That we hunger for perhaps more than anything else to be known in our full humanness, and yet that is often just what we also fear more than anything else. End of quote. Buechner in his book shares a great deal about himself. Jeremiah in his book shares about him. After her death, the diary of Mother Teresa was published, and we learn more about this remarkable woman. She references her interior darkness, feeling unloved by God, even the temptation to doubt that God exists. She wrote in her spiritual director, in her diary, these words, and I quote, in my soul I feel just the terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not really existing. We know the legacy of Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa. Jeremiah was appointed by God as a prophet to the nations. We read where God declared that before the foundations of the earth, he had meant for Jeremiah to be his spokesperson. If you go back to Isaiah, we hear and witness the call of Isaiah and other prophets, but we don't witness that in Jeremiah. From the foundations, he's called to be a prophet. Jeremiah had trouble identifying and accepting such an identity. We read that he was so torn between his call and his own personal self that even he prayed for his own death. But for 40 years, he was a spokesperson for God. Throughout his life, he felt that he stood alone, declaring the message of God's doom, announcing the new covenant, and weeping over the fate of his beloved country and his people. Jeremiah, regardless of personal opposition and cost, faithfully, day in and day out, proclaimed the word of God to the nations. He was called then to a particular people, in a particular situation, but it reaches out to all of us and to all persons, offering two very important lessons a word of judgment, and a word of hope. Jeremiah happened to be born in an era which in Israel as a nation was characterized by many as terminally ill. There was a great deal happening with kings and the people. His ministry can be dated from 626 B.C. until 587 B.C. when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, captured the king, meaning David's throne was now to be vacated. Jeremiah was the one who was to go and tell the people and the kings of the bad news that was going to be happening and where they would be. Their responses, as you can often imagine, were of anger because they did not want to hear words of judgment. In his lifetime, Jeremiah was imprisoned, certainly insulted, ignored. But eventually, he would become a prophet of hope during the times of exile for God's people. How do we live in dark times when everything seems hopeless? Jeremiah, I think, teaches the way of hope as the way of everyday faithfulness and of ordinary love. God said through Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Judgment and hope. In chapter 15 of the book of Jeremiah, I encourage you to read it in several translations. The New Revised, the Message, the King James. The language is quite interesting. But the most important thing, I think, and have found out about this chapter to me, there are others, but probably no one that is more profound in the book of Jeremiah that speaks to this prophet and his situation. Often labeled as confessional, Jeremiah even speaks in the first person. He opens his heart, revealing both his own spiritual weakness and God's rebuke. So often we talk about the triumphs, the pinnacles of life. Here we learn more about one's failures. The chapter could also be labeled as a time of prayer for Jeremiah. There are words of prophecy, but lament and prayer, and indeed the personal struggle. And we are able to see that. If you go back to the previous chapter, Jeremiah was told not to pray for the people. For in essence, God's heart has turned away from them. And the point is reinforced at the very beginning of the 15th chapter when two very important intercessors of prayer have been mentioned, and they are Moses and Samuel. If you go back and look in scriptures, when Moses prayed or Samuel prayed, God was there to avert crises and catastrophes, and prayers were answered, and the people of Israel benefited from the grace and the love of God. But even if Moses and Samuel were here to pray for you, it would do no good. It's too late. God commands Jeremiah to send the people away from the divine presence. Just let them go. And then we have these very gruesome images. Not a PG movie. Soldiers wielding swords, dogs dragging away the bodies thrown into the streets, and birds and wild animals picking at the bodies. By these dramatic events, Israel will be made a horror to all people then and now, to all nations. As one writer states, whether the people's prayers were sincere or not, they were too late. Just as the prophet's prayers would be, it was too late, for judgment would now fall on the people. In verses 6 through 9, we have a poem, a prophecy. The horror continues with the judgment. The nation is like a woman who's losing her 7 children. These powerful words were also recorded. Her sun went down while it was yet day. The judgment of the nation of Israel. Jeremiah is dismayed with the people because they are critical of him and what he is telling them about their prayers and destruction. By rejecting his life, he also is compelled to reconsider what his life is all about and how his calling fits and what God wants him to do and to be about. For destruction and doom were going to happen. Jeremiah returns to himself. In view of the verbal abuse that he has undergone, because of God's call, he pleads that God would be patient and not take me away. Referring either to being exiled along with the rest of the people, or maybe his own impending death. A side thought. We're all called of God. We're all called in ministry. We're all gifted. But living with a call from God is always marked by a certain bit of ambivalence, including moments of joy and delight, as well as moments of doubts and questions. In living with the call of God, acceptance and reluctance come together time and time again. And that's where we live out our lives and our callings. And Jeremiah is showing us what was taking place in his life. But he wants to know and even ask of God, don't stand back while they ruin me. Just look at the abuse I'm taking in verse 15. John Bright is an Old Testament scholar who's written the Anchor Commentary. He translates, "Do not, though thy patience destroy me, consider for thy sake that I suffer abuse." He has proclaimed judgment and all that is going to happen, the death and destruction. And now he knows that he too has been persecuted and wonders if God is even there working with him. Eugene Peterson says, there's a desperation. Jeremiah struggles to accommodate his awareness of God's unhurried and measured pace with the panic and fear that is running out all around him, but even in his own life. Where is God and when will he speak? As he speaks of his pain, Jeremiah also talks of the wounds that will not heal and his loneliness. He uses the idea of personal affliction, of wounds that will not heal. And why will you not heal them, O God? And the loneliness that is going on in his life. He stands between God and the people and asks both of them and bears the sufferings of them. And he also feels like he's bearing the suffering of God's torment. Jeremiah never married. Many of the joys of family life had to be forfeited for the sake of his calling. Much of the opposition to what he was about and doing came from relatives who had little appreciation for his ministry and his calling. Jeremiah, we are told in chapter 15, took his calling so seriously that he refused to waste away any precious hours in the company of the party crowd. And thus he finds himself often alone. In verse 18, Jeremiah seems to be praying and complaining that his pain is still persistent. It is like this incurable wound. It hurts. Why the pain? The sin of the people. Their indifference all seemed to be a deep wound in this messenger. And he was hurting for them. He wonders why he has to endure so much. If you go back early in the book, he assures Israel of forsaking God. He accuses them of forsaking God. And he talks about the fountain of living waters. they begin making cisterns that do not hold water, cracked cisterns, which deceive the thirsty. And Jeremiah is bringing that back up as well. And then one of the most interesting metaphors in all of Scripture to me, he recalls the experience of a sojourner, of one walking in the desert, who sees the outline of a stream bed in the distance, which prompts the hope that thirst can finally be quenched. Upon arrival, he finds that stream bed dry. And he says, God raises hope, but does not satisfy need. It is as though his lament and prayer now is full of anger. He had preached that God was a pond of fresh flowing water, and now he accuses God of just being a mirage, just out there. He has spoken. He has lamented. He has prayed, and now he listens. He listens to God. God's response to his servant is, get on with it, or face up to it. And there seems to be this play on words, take back, stand tall, return, repent. If Jeremiah will simply return to focus, then God will welcome him, and he will stand before God as one ready to initiate and continue the call that he was given from the foundations of the earth. Stick to your calling. You shall be as my mouth. Let them come over to you. Don't you go over to them and talking about the people. In essence, God has told Jeremiah to repent. But he's also told him, I will be with you. I will make you a wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but not prevail. I will deliver you from their hands, but first you have to return to me and stop saying worthless things. And thinking about chapter 15 and reading Peterson's book, I noticed that God does not always answer the questions of Jeremiah. He did not promise to change the circumstances either. He did not say from now on it will be easier. But what did God do? He promised to stand by him, to strengthen him, to deliver him. And so the prophet found a renewal of faith and of his spiritual commitment. And he could go on and continue, even though we read in later chapters, he struggles continue. But he would continue to be God's servant. It appears as almost he got a second chance in ministry. Interesting words of a personal struggle. Jeremiah, I think, stands, as we know, as one of the major prophets. Through his life and ministry, we learn a great deal. In these struggles, in this prayer, we see an angry, hurt, and lonely man calling out to his God. Who of you are not hurt? Who of you are not angry? Who of you are not lonely? When do you call out to God in your pain and in your struggle, wondering if it's all just a mirage and where is He in the midst of your life? All of us experience these things. Jeremiah brought unto God, and God was there for him. The prophet of judgment is also the prophet of hope, who lived in dark times when everything seemed to be hopeless. But it taught to Jeremiah and it teaches us the way of hope, even in the everydayness of life. Later in the book of Jeremiah, we read about the destruction of the nation. The temple, their beloved Jerusalem, was destroyed, and the people were taken into captivity. What was God's word through Jeremiah to his people? I am the God of Israel. I am the one who has sent you into exile. Babylon has not sent you there. I have. In other words, God is the one who is writing the story of Israel as he was from the very beginning. As I mentioned to you last week in my own personal devotion time, I've been reading in Exodus and talking about the departure from Egypt. The people struggled then. They built a calf. They knew that God had led them and done all these wonderful things and provided manna in the desert, but yet they did not know how to worship. The struggle has always continued, but the promises of God have always been with His people. For God was writing the nation's story, but He also was writing Jeremiah's story. As Jeremiah found out, and hopefully we too find out, to let God write our story and do not try to write it our own. That can be difficult. The pain, the hurt, the suffering can make it even more difficult. So how do we stop writing our own stories and begin to let God write them? We first must do as Jeremiah and let go of trying to be in control of everything. There has to be that letting go and letting God in. Then comes the forgiveness and faithfulness. We let God break the flawed vessel that we are and make something new of it, and He will do that day in and day out if we let Him. Again, was it easy for Jeremiah? Certainly not. Can you not hear him in those verses, even as difficult as they may be? Can you not hear him crying out and the pain of this servant of God? God does not extend His call only to the brave and the ones who've got it all together. To those who never have doubts or problems. If He did, we would be in trouble. I would be in trouble. Jeremiah's lament, his prayer shows us, I think, how close to the brink of despair a man or a woman of God can come. It's not easy. But the redeeming factor is that Jeremiah knew where to turn in such a dark night of the soul. If that night is not part of your life now, it will be. Lord, whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. Like the potter using the image, we've messed up. But God breaks those flawed vessels and starts all over again, making of us lives and a beautiful vessel. As Jeremiah was able to do, and we too in our moments come to our true selves, can come to God. And we can sing these words, "Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." May we indeed be still in the presence of Almighty God, and may the potter continue to shape our lives. Amen.